Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.
It's the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. We have told you a lot lately about voting in Antrim County, where the county clerk faces scrutiny from state officials over how she's handling voter registrations.
So Michigan law is very clear on what county clerks can do and what local clerks, so think township clerks, city clerks, what they are able to do.
Reporter Haley Harding from VoteBeat helps us unpack what's going on. First, though, an update on Line 5. State regulators have opened public comment for a key water permit for the Line 5 tunnel project in the Straits of Mackinac. The permit from the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes and Energy, or EGLE, would allow pipeline owner Enbridge Energy to discharge 5 million gallons of treated wastewater per day into the Great Lakes during construction. IPR's Climate Solutions reporter Vivian Law was at an anti-Line 5 demonstration in downtown Traverse City yesterday.
About 30 people stand on a street corner with signs that say shut down Line 5 pipeline or you can't drink oil. They hope to catch EGLE officials as they head into a nearby conference on drinking water. Ashley Rudzinski is with the demonstration organizer Groundwork Center for Resilient Communities.
40 million people rely on the Great Lakes for drinking water, and I think it's a stark reminder that we will not let that go without a fight. We certainly want EGLE to make the right decisions here.
Line 5 opponents say they're looking ahead to the state's upcoming decision on a more consequential water permit, plus court decisions on another state permit. Enbridge spokesperson Ryan Duffy says renewal of the draft permit is appropriate, and the tunnel project is a common-sense solution that makes a safe pipeline safer. For IPR News, I'm Vivian Law.
Now to our main story in Antrim County. Back in mid-April, the State Bureau of Elections sent Antrim County Clerk Victoria Bishop a letter asking her to stop making changes in the qualified voter files and to submit a list of all the changes she has made. Since then, Bishop repeatedly denied making changes in the qualified voter file, telling the Bureau, quote, "I do not alter or remove people." But IPR has identified 14 changes made by Victoria Bishop. Six of those voters had their registration status changed to cancel. IPR's Austin Rolater has been following the story. And Austin, take it from here.
Thanks, Ed. So, how do we know that Victoria Bishop made changes to the qualified voter files? Well, her username is on the changes in the file. If you're curious to see what that looks like, you can visit our website, iprnews.org, where we have some of those documents posted. But to find out why county clerks don't have authority to make changes in the QVF and what it means to cancel someone's voter registration status, I spoke with reporter Haley Harding. She's the reporter who originally broke the story about the Bureau of Elections investigation. She's with the nonpartisan group VoteBeat Michigan. Here's our conversation. Victoria Bishop has canceled people from the qualified voter files in Antrim County. Why is she not supposed to do that?
So Michigan law is very clear on what county clerks can do and what local clerks, so think township clerks, city clerks, what they are able to do. The bulk of election administration falls to those local clerks, right? They do the bulk of the administration, the bulk of the maintenance of what's called the qualified voter file, which is just the fancy name for like the list of every voter in the state of Michigan. County clerks, all things considered, have very little power in the state of Michigan. In other states, they actually run elections entirely, but that is not true in Michigan.
There's a long process for removing someone from the voter rolls. What is that process? How does that actually work?
The process of removing somebody is you're supposed to send them a notice functionally saying, hey, by our standards, you have not voted at this address in 20 years as the state of Michigan's standard, to the best of my knowledge, unless they believe you have moved or died, right? You send a notice to that person. You inform them that they're potentially going to be canceled if they do not acknowledge it. If they do not acknowledge it, eventually you do have the ability to remove them. But again, that is largely done by local clerks, not by county clerks.
For Victoria Bishop, what could be some of the consequences of taking these actions with the qualified voter file?
That is up for the State Bureau of Elections to decide. The state does and has used in the past, they do have the ability to remove somebody's election administration privileges functionally, which usually means that their deputy might run elections or that, in particularly rare cases, I believe the state can step in and have state officials run the elections, which is obviously very difficult and not at all ideal because the way the system is supposed to work in the state of Michigan is it is supposed to be run by people who live in the community. It's one of the most beautiful things about Michigan elections is that it is run by your neighbors, right? It is run by your next door neighbor, the woman you see at the grocery store, the man you run into at the post office. It is not meant to be run by someone from the state.
How common is this? Like, are there other county clerks in the state that have come under scrutiny like this? Or is this something that just happens now? Or is this kind of an anomaly?
No, this one is very rare. State election law is very clear, right, on what you can and cannot do. And in my experience, the vast majority, we have more than 1,600 election officials in the state of Michigan, right? And that is county clerks and local clerks as well. The vast majority of them operate within the confines of the law, right? Obviously, sometimes with that many people, some people accidentally step out, maybe some people do it on purpose, right? And when that does happen, it is found out. There is a pretty strict trail of how these things are maintained and how we keep tabs on these things, right? So these things are found out and dealt with accordingly. But the Bureau has been very serious about these things because the Bureau of Elections sees the sanctity of our elections here in Michigan as, you know, one of the most important things we have. And they're very, generally speaking, eager to defend that, right? Because that is their mandate.
That's VoteBeat reporter Haley Harding, who covers voting across Michigan. VoteBeat, by the way, provides nonpartisan local reporting about elections and voting. IPR is trying independently to obtain a complete list of voters whose status was changed by Bishop. Victoria Bishop would not comment for this story.
IPR's Austin Rowlater bringing us that explainer. One more thing on voting before we go. Out of Lansing, a state Senate committee has advanced a bill to create a Michigan Voting Rights Act. Supporters say the Democratic-sponsored bills would fill a gap created by a U.S. Supreme Court decision that struck down key elements of the main federal voting rights law. The bills would require more voting information to be available in languages other than English, would offer more assistance for voters with disabilities, it would create a nonpartisan state voter institute for training, and it would gather data on election management. The bills now go to the Senate floor. The Republican-controlled House has a competing elections package, which includes requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote. That's the Up North Lowdown for Thursday, May 21st. I'm Ed Ronco. Thanks for listening. Oh, hey, one more thing. Thanks for listening to the podcast version of the Up North Lowdown. We're glad you're here. We hope you'll subscribe or follow it through your favorite podcast app. We would love it if you would share it with friends as well. Tell people that this is a great way to get caught up on what's going on in Northern Michigan. This is Interlochen Public Radio.